Today's show, the headline is, it's about the together modes, isn't it? The different scenes that we've got. We've got a few other things to talk about around productivity score. We've got outlook on the web and predictions and various things, some stuff about hashtags and topic splitting. Let's roll this intro.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Message Center Show, where we help you plan for change, prevent or fix, stay informed. Good now to you all. This has been an interesting week with a mix of updates. And Daniel, you're back. How are you?
Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. I'm better. Thank you for taking the show on your shoulders and running with it last week. Appreciate that.
Did you like my latte and... joke?
Yeah.
Just as a repeat, I know it's a dad joke, sorry, but I honestly feel that a latte is not a real coffee. And it was like a show yesterday. It wasn't a real show without Daniel.
Because it has too much foam, or what's wrong with the latte?
I'm the fluff part. You're the substance, okay? You're like the double shot roast that gives it so much flavor, and I'm the foamy kind of anyway.
You're the foamy. Got it.
Yeah. Enough of that. So today's messages are let's just start with them. There's an interesting one to begin with. What is it? It is the 3x3 thingo.
This is team support for 3x3 recordings. That's MC22555 68. And it's pretty simple. I mean, you'll notice for those that are watching the video that Daryl doesn't even have to scroll through the message. It's the message is pretty simple in that it is, you're going to be able to see when you record your team's meeting that if you have 9 or more people, then you'll see 9 people, 9 squares in the recording. So it'll function just like if you'll see the last 9 people that talked, or the first 9, I guess, that came in, but, and then it'll rotate out, as people speak up and all that. So it'll work like that. And I think this is great because if you're recording a meeting, I want to see those people. I want to see those reactions. And, you know, it's kind of like we get the best of both worlds. We get this recording of what happened. So let's take a step back. If we're in a conference room, right, we get to see each other's reactions. We can have those communications, nonverbal communications. But then we leave and it's up in here, right? It's in our head. We have to remember what those reactions were.
Do you remember what he was wearing during that meeting? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my. Scandalous.
Didn't even iron his shirt.
But then for online meetings, we, a lot of times, if before this whole 3x3 and everything, we couldn't see what people were doing or audio, right? But we could record it. It's like, well, okay, that's great, but we don't. So this is coming, the benefits of both of those, of being able to see the nonverbal cues from people, get that interaction, but also get a recording for what happened. So this is, will be the rollout. It probably is, if it's not in your tenant already, it will be very, very shortly, because the rollout began a few days ago in late October, and it's scheduled to finish at the start of November, which here we are. It's the second for me and the third for Daryl and those on the other side of the world. And I love the last point here on the message, which is, what do you need to prepare? Well, you may consider updating your training. I think so. I actually, not from a perspective of how you do this, I think it would be good to mention an organization to remember when you're attending a Teams meeting and you have your camera on, and it's being recorded, your face, it's not just what you say or what you share on your screen, your face is going to be recorded. And, you know, if you maybe react, you react to things more physically. Sometimes I do that. I'm like cringe or something, you know, remember that's going to be on the recording. So good that's point. Kind of, yeah, just, I think it's good for users to know that. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think, we tend to forget with remote meetings that, when your video is showing, all those expressions are there, which is the plus and minus side of it. Yeah. That goes for other mannerisms too, by the way, like biting your nails or other stuff. But yeah, good to see that come in into the recording.
Rubbing your head, rubbing the top of your head, you know.
I figure they're working their way up to 7x7 or the full 49 grid that we have now. Maybe. But yeah, great. Okay,
So our next one is another 2255 message, Daryl, right? Yeah.
Yep, as numbering goes, announcing Teams public preview for end users, which on the face of it, as a title, you're like, okay, right? MC225595. They're using these new tags. It's considered admin impact and a feature update. I believe it's also a user impact because, and this will be selective, of course, because the goal with this is to allow you to select a group of people that will receive Teams updates in the Teams applications, various modes, you know, your desktop, your browser, and your mobile application, and they will get to experience the changes before the rest of your organization. Now, we've had something like this for years called targeted release for the Office applications and to some extent some of the experience we have within the web browser of Microsoft 365. But we haven't had it to date for Microsoft Teams. Teams is, for want of a simple description, the desktop application is a open source browser that's had a lot of work to make it very functional. And so how do you release something like that to just a select set of users, select set of people, so that they can experience it before everyone else? Some of us within our community are lucky enough to be on a tap or a private preview kind of ring where we see things a lot earlier. And I've been wondering, Daniel, what do you think about this? How do you think they are going to release some of these features to a public preview ring within your own organization?
Technically, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure how they do it. When I mean technically, like the bits and bytes behind the scenes, how are they going to address it? But what I, when I envision this, when I was thinking about it, I'm thinking what they're going to do is when you denote who is part of that in the back end, the team's admin control is going to have your, I'm sure it's a GUID or GUID or how do you say it?
It'll do it. GUID.
Okay. GUID. Okay. People say it differently. So just anyway, and it will just enable those features in your team's client for those people. And so what that means is that functionality is already there. I think already there in the team's client, already there, pushed to those users, except that it's just turned off for the people who are not in the ring. So it's kind of reverse. Instead of enabling features, instead of rolling out features to a certain set of people, it's rolling out the feature to everyone. It's just turning it off for people who are not in that selected ring, I think. That's my...
Yeah, that's a good assumption or estimate, because when an organization needs to get early access, like this TAP program, your whole tenant is put on that. Anyway, how it works, you as a Teams admin, coming up, sort of starting to roll out mid-November, complete by end of November, you'll have something within your Teams policies where you can create a policy or apply it to existing policies if you wish. You can turn it on so that people can show preview features. That'll be the wording you're looking for. You either turn it on or off. Now, that's not the end of it. Once you've turned that on, you've got to tell the people that you add to this policy or who are members of this policy that they have to opt in for themselves. And I thought this was an interesting thing. You're turning it on, but you still need to have this opt-in thing. And I think it's because of the way it's a bit like some of these preview switches we've had for different other features, like the early modern meeting experience, where you've got to go up to your profile photo, go into an area and turn on permissions or flick things on. Same thing. If you want to opt in and you've been put into this policy, then you've got to go into the about area of your profile picture menu and turn on public preview. Now, one thing I'd say about... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to... The only thing I'll say about this is it's very similar to the way Power BI functions. The client is that you can go in and say turn... The user does this, can go in and turn on preview features, and then they just restart the app and it works. You know, the features are already there. It's just you're turning it on. So yeah, it seems very similar to the way that works.
Mm. Which actually suggests that maybe you're only going to see these features within the desktop app. Don't know. We still have that settings menu within the web browser.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think it would be easier to roll it out in the web browser like they're doing here. So I don't know.
Mm. Well, the thing I was going to say about this, we've had the feature available for Office application and updates. Now, the goal with using it is to try and, as a change manager, as a an IT pro as well, you know, you want to know how are these updates going to land within your organization so you can get ahead of any issues, any things that might be troublesome, or identify some opportunities where you can really promote and leverage that functionality. So if you already have an early adopters program in your organization, then leverage this. Add the same people to that policy or create that policy for them. If you don't have that program, take a look at some of the resources at adoption.microsoft.com. And there's a few other people who write about this sort of stuff too, around user adoption, change management. That it's a good idea if you've got any size organization, really, to have at least one or two people, if not a group, and get that early look in to what's happening and changing.
But see, this doesn't change our recommendation, at least it's my recommendation, and I think Microsoft's recommendation as well, is that if you don't have a targeted tenant, which would be kind of a test tenant, then, you know, your production is your test tenant. And so this is, but it's difficult to do that with Teams, in that Teams is your communication hub, your device for your digital workplace. And so while you may have a separate Microsoft 365 tenant that is targeted so you can see all the new stuff before it comes out in standard, you're not going to be switching back and forth between, you know, logging in to the test tenant, you know, that, and your production one. And so it's very difficult to do. So I think they're trying to, you know, stand on both sides of the creek, as it were, with this. And it'll be interesting to see where, I mean, especially for support. You think about support, and someone calls in and says, hey, Sally next to me has this thing and I don't have it. Why don't I? What's wrong with my computer? You know, what's wrong with Teams? Or I'm seeing this on my screen and the support person's like, what? I've never heard of that. Or you shouldn't be seeing that. And, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be problematic. It's just that you do have to prepare for this if you're going to implement this.
Yeah, yeah. Highlight there too, if you don't have support people from your service desk in that early adopters group, you're doing it wrong. You've got to have a few people in there to know what this looks like, so that you can also figure out how to support it. But anyway, hey, Together Mode and Scenes. Tell us a bit about that, Daniel.
Yes, this is introducing new scenes to Together Mode, MC225405. We we loved it when Together Mode came out. Oh, this is a good view. You know, at least it's not just faces. It's pretty inventive to have us all on this theater mode, right? We're all kind of sit. And that's great. And then I feel like we're like, couldn't we do other scenes? Because, I mean, it's just a background, right? And all Teams is doing is grabbing your outline and putting it somewhere. So why not have other scenes? Well, Microsoft's, you're right. Maybe they were working on this before. We just thought that too. But so they're rolling this out mid-November and should be completed by mid-December. And so we're getting four new 50-person backgrounds for the Together mode and two that are five person. So, which I like, because if you just do the Together mode now and there's only, you know, five of you, I feel like it kind of looks a little weird. I don't know. So I really enjoy this, that they're kind of targets to, well, if there's only five of you here or less, here's a better, you know, you're at a desk or, you know, but if there's way more than you, then, you know, maybe doing it in other, scenes. So I'm liking how they're splitting that up. Obviously there may be some, hey, I want the big theater and there's only five of us. Why can't we, I want that new theater one. Well, you know, you know, so just work with it there. Or I have six or seven people, but I want to be at this table. It's probably the way it'll go. No, that's only for five. So you get a big auditorium. But anyway, yes, you may consider updating your training. I feel like this is one of those that it doesn't necessarily need to, I don't know. I don't think it needs to be in a whole other training, you know, issue or class or anything. If you've already told people about Together Mode, they've already used it. This is just other scenes they can use with it. So,
There's something about it, Daniel, which, a couple of things that I think operate a little differently, which might warrant a little note. I think the five person scenes, if you have 10 people or people that join, it's just going to be like a spillover, a bit like having a nine person grid and that the rest of them are going to appear in the gallery down below.
Right.
So yeah, five people, it just means the last five people that spoke will be there, which is fine. But
is it, I mean, I actually don't think it's fine. And I'm sorry to disagree with you. I know, it's like, you know, I went on vacation, although it wasn't really vacation while I was out last week, and here I come back and I'm arguing with you, but I actually don't think it's okay, because that's the whole point of Together Mode, is that everyone's together. So if there are 10 of you, then that means half of you are not showing up in this Together Mode. It defeats the point of Together Mode.
So what happens when you have 250 person scene?
The same exact problem. I'm telling you, I feel like I think that what you just said, what if you have 200 people and you have the 50 people? I don't think that's as big of a deal, because it's such a huge group. How do you really connect with everyone in such a huge group, right? But if there's seven or eight of you and you go in the five scene, you can connect with seven or eight, you know, but only five of you are going to show up. I don't particularly like
we
that.
So you're saying we need some scenes in between the five and the 50, really, don't we?
Maybe, or Teams be smart about it. And it is kind of smart to where it puts people in the middle of the big scene. And so it kind of expands out from there. But it's also a little bit odd the way it does it, too. I feel like the algorithm is it throws people in the middle, but then you're kind of stacked before it goes wide. I don't know.
It needs to like be all sort of spiral like, so that it starts from the middle.
Kinda. Yeah.
You know, I think the organizer should be in the middle too, by the way, you know, or at least you can nominate. Imagine having a feature there where you could pin someone to be in the center. Anyway, the other thing about this, Daniel, it actually doesn't mention it anywhere in the message. And of course, like if you go through to the blog, it just shows you what they announced at Ignite and additional information, how to change these things. What is this thing down here? This scene will change for everyone.
I noticed that. Yes, it is. That is interesting, because if you think about together mode, right now we only have one scene,
yeah. right?
But now, when you change this scene, it's going to change for everyone. Now, who gets to do that? That's a, that is the question I want to know.
Because, well, there's three permission levels, but, really only two sets of permissions.
Right. And so is it the organizer that gets to change this and that's why it's showing there? Or is it, you know, a just a member? Is it, I feel like this could be another one of those mute, unmute, you know.
Spotlight, unspotlight.
Spotlight. Oh, that actually is a way better example. Thank you, Darryl. It was the spotlighting.
Who's spotlighting me?
Yeah. It's like, oh no. Who unspotted? That's actually the biggest problem I have with spotlight is you spotlight someone because they're giving the presentation and then people go and unspotlight. It's like, so this is, I think, going to have the same kind of issues if everyone's going to be able to change that.
Yeah. Well, when you're in that collaborative mode, and this is often organizations leave this as the default, you set up a meeting, then anyone in your org gets presenter status. Meaning they can share their screen, they can take control, rather request control, they can present whatever. So therefore, I think that's the permission level that you'll be able to use to change the scene for everyone. Because to date, what I change and see is what I see, not what everyone else sees. So we haven't had anything else said about this other than it's in the screenshot. I hope that it's an organizer permission, because there is a few things that an organizer can do, like change the way that the meeting operates. You can force people to be on mute, that hard mute thing, and various other settings there. Though it does bring into question if you're the meeting organizer, but you're not actually part of the meeting, you know, where an EA sets something up for executives, but they're not allowed to be part of the meeting. Questions. But anyway, we're going to have some fun with that. And yeah, let's see what happens in that space.
Yep. So that is coming in the next, starting to roll out in the next, I guess, couple weeks. So that'll be interesting to see. Yep. So Darryl.
Yes.
Are you productive?
Are you asking?
Yes, I'm asking. Are you?
Oh, productive? Yeah. Well, I think I am. I don't know what to measure it against, though, because, you know, I do what I do.
I'm wondering if your organization's productive. How would you find out if your organization is using the technology that's available to them?
Hey, guess what? We've got that little reminder there at the top of the screen. I'm capturing Daniel on the full screen here, and we've got 5 minutes left in the meeting. Ooh. How about that? Anyway, side tackle. The message, productivity score soon to be generally available. This is something we saw two Ignites ago. And let's just say it was conceptual back then, at least what they showed. It was a few screenshots and a few things that we could click. Now it's a working thing. And you might have been an organization that has been trying it out in public preview. This is MC225209. Productivity score, in my opinion, is a far better way to consume usage analytics. We've had the Microsoft 365 usage analytics dashboard and Power BI for a while, but a lot of people go, ooh, that's nice. How do I read that? How do I extract meaning and value out of it? Productivity score is more about looking at those stories of how you're communicating as an organization, collaboration, teamwork, and it has more of a story to tell. But further than that, it takes some of your information from workplace analytics. It starts to tell more of a story about how people are using tools, but also how they're interacting with each other. The other half to this is a technical story. So that was the end user story, or the people story, or their people experience. The technical experience is how are my machines performing, in the sense that how are they impacting productivity? How quickly do they start up? Is there anything on there that's impacting the way that things work. And that is taking information and telemetry from Intune if you're using that. So it's going to be generally available. And you and I were talking about what impact does this have for organizations. I think that those who are interested in encouraging teamwork and good behavior around productivity, communication, can and should be looking at this report within the admin center. Daniel, do you see this being useful for customers and within your own org?
Yeah, I do. I think we always have to look at what we're doing, our activities in an organization, and understand if we're getting value out of it. How are we, we're spending so much time on communications, on getting people to utilize a service like OneDrive, or Teams or whatever it is. And we're working on it. We ramped up to get people trained on support. We got resources available to them and all of this. And are people actually using it?
Mm.
And then kind of on the flip side of, what are things that people are not using that we want them to be using?
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to know those kind of things. But we need to look at, are people being productive in their meeting times, their communications, and all of that as well. And so it is, to me, very important to understand, are people collaborating? Are they working together? Or is it that everyone's working in their silos and not working together, not meeting? I mean, if your organization, you're looking at this and you have zero meetings through the week, I feel like something may be wrong.
Especially in this climate.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, we have the adoption side of things where we're looking at our services being used, but then we have the productivity score where how are those things being used to work together to get the job done? Are we collaborating? Are we meeting? Or, you know, what does it all look like?
Yeah. Can I, it's a phrase that I've been thinking about, and I think of this also from a Microsoft partner perspective. We keep hearing about monthly active usage, and active users have raised with monthly active users, daily active users have raised within Microsoft Teams and various different services. I take the acronym and change it a little. I think meaningful active usage is more important, and that's what this is about, that you can drill down and see how people using this in a meaningful way rather than just consuming it, looking at the numbers of how many people are attending meetings, right? But if we drill down into this, and keep in mind that this is just a demo tenant, so there's not a lot going on there, but you can get into things like how many people had the video turned on, when were the meetings occurring, were they an hour or less? That indications show that if it's an hour or longer, then it's not really a decision-making meeting, it's potentially just a broadcast of information. So I think like what this does help with is it gives you suggestions to correct this and make it useful information. So we'll probably do a deep dive on that. I think I'll do a little video or two about it because it's kind of the area that I'm servicing and super interested in. But going back to the timing of all this, productivity score seem to be available update, so 30th. Okay, it's supposed to be admin control is available starting 30th October, so that's now. And yeah, you can turn that on. I didn't really sort of look into some of the crucial detail. It's this weird kind of thing where if you've deployed it now, then people experience is going to be delayed. And oh, that's what it was. Some organizations don't want to see the user level information. They want to obscure that and turn that off. So that's a control that was delayed, but is coming in now.
Yep. So December 3rd is when you need to kind of tweak that. So that's the act by date on this message.
Excellent.
Yep.
I guess we can just race through the last couple.
That's fine. So the Outlook on the web, this is MC225214, Outlook on the web text. predictions in English now supported worldwide. This is something we've talked about where you're typing in Outlook on the web, which I actually use more so than the thick client or the desktop client. When you're typing, it gives you predictive text and you can hit tab and accept what it's predicting for you that you want to finish your sentence or keep going. That was only for the US, I think, or is it North America? North America. However, now it's worldwide. It is English only, but it is now rolled out or will be rolling out worldwide. So targeted release early through mid-November, which means early November through mid-November. And then standard release will be mid-November through early December. So just a couple weeks each rollout. I think it's fantastic. And then what will be even more fantastic is if we can get more languages in there. But that is, I feel it is something that you need to, if you're not in the North America, you probably do need to tell your users that, hey, stuff's going to start popping up.
Yeah. And,
it's a little weird when you first see it. If you don't have any background in this happening in other services, it is kind
of
weird.
Well, I should have showed a screenshot of this there, eh? But it's like this little word bubble beside it as you're typing.
And it's grayed. It's a lighter gray.
Yeah.
Or like if you're typing black, it's like a gray, and you can hit tab and it goes. So anyway, that's it. That's that message for, again, rolling out this month for targeted tenants worldwide.
Yeah. And I'm going to race through this last one. Just to say, I think this is another a larger topic to talk about, especially for orgs that have been using Yammer for some time. Upcoming changes to topics and hashtags in Yammer, MC225505. Two dates. If you were to drop in a hashtag into a post that you're making or reply, then it will also add a topic at the bottom of the post. And hashtags have been used, of course, to for promotions internally to say, look, you know, maybe campaigns about things. The goal here is that you could click on a hashtag and you could, you know, bring up a search page to show all the other posts that are using this hashtag. And then there's topics. And they did operate in the same way. If you added a hashtag, it would add a topic. If you added a topic, it wouldn't necessarily add a hashtag. Now, this is positioning for, I believe, Project Cortex, which showed us all about topic pages. And Yammer are getting ahead of that. And so they're trying to do a distinction between there's a hashtag, you can drop the text in there. It's still going to operate as something of a way of helping search bring results together. But the topic pages will no longer reflect what's on the hashtag. Now, I wanted to try and plug in something and do a bit of like whiteboarding, but just imagine this. A word like, I think they were using, like when you use compound words. In hashtags, you put them together, two words, because you don't leave the space. It's the word together that actually forms the hashtag. But in a topic sense, if the two words are written with a space between them, I had a perfect example earlier.
Change management.
Change management.
I mean, you're exactly right. That it is not the way computers will read that. And how is Cortex going to be able to go, oh, that's a topic, needs a topic page. And because change management or whatever phrase that you're using will be in a document. It's not going to be squished together with a pound sign. No.
That's so only social expression, isn't it?
Exactly. So you're exactly right. I feel like same as you, this is setting up for success, making sure people differentiate between a hashtag, which is a social kind of construct and social media construct, and the actual topic that is being discussed.
Yep. So if you're in the habit of posting that way, just be mindful that if you also want it to appear on a topic page, that you need to add the topic. But I do suggest you add the topic when it's with a space if you're using a compound word, because that's how it's going to appear in documents and conversations, as Daniel said.
Exactly. And you're going to need to train your users on this. I mean, if you've been using Yammer for a very long time, then your users are using it like this, I bet, using hashtags to get topics. So you're going to require some hand-holding here, I think.
Yeah. So take a closer look at that. It's a feature update. There's definitely a user impact, definitely worth a bit of change comms, especially into a community to say it's going to change. Well, that was the show, and I know we went over time, but I think we did like go a little deeper into some of the key things that are really quite significant this week. Good to see you back, Daniel, and feeling better. Thank you to everyone who joined us this week. We'll catch you again next week. Well, bye for now.
Bye-bye.